Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I am your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we look at on this podcast. We talk about the strategies, and I share stories. I tell you about some of the big mistakes I've made, and I share resources, all with the hope of helping you empower students with voice and choice. We've been talking about vintage innovation, and I just wanted to tell you the book is out. It is available. It was the number one release on Amazon in education in experimental methods, which was really cool. It's been in the top five in that category all week long, and the official release date is January 14th. So again, you can check it out. Go buy the book. Hopefully there's something in it that you find of value. It is a highly visual book. I spent about 2 years working on it. So it's something that I really spent more time on than I did compared to other projects. And I really wanted it to be as good as it could possibly be. And so that's why it's been a couple years since I released a book. Again, I had a lot of fun with it. And so if you check it out, I hope you enjoyed reading it as much as I enjoyed creating it. Let's take a dive into this topic. What I want to talk about is the myths about innovation. So, four myths about innovation in education. So, about a decade ago, I watched a local school district in my area purchase hundreds of interactive whiteboards. They might have purchased thousands. Hailed as the ultimate solution for student achievement, teachers attended flip chart trainings. The school district purchased packaged curriculum, promising huge results and better test scores. Specialists observed classrooms to see if teachers were implementing the interactive whiteboards with fidelity. Now, many of these interactive whiteboards years later are obsolete. They're being torn out and they're being reinstalled with physical whiteboards or even chalkboards. Because it turns out that dry erase markers and chalk are fast and efficient and flexible. They don't require any updates. But as odd as this is, it's not an isolated case. This actually happens all the time in education. I've watched edtech gurus hail the promise of netbooks and one-to-one devices and adaptive learning programs. And these were all supposed to be the future of learning. We've since moved on to artificial intelligence, which will deliver the precise learning in a leveled, personalized way. Add to this virtual reality and augmented reality, and you'll have the classroom of the future. But AI won't transform learning. Tablets won't transform learning. Neither will virtual reality headsets. The truth is, none of these things will ever be the future of learning. The future of learning can't be an app. It can't be a program. It has to be you. It has to be teachers. See, innovation is all about the role of the teacher as the designer of learning experiences. It always has been and it always will be. The future of learning is always going to be the teacher. So I want to talk about some of the myths we have about innovation and the future of learning. It's easy to get cynical about the false promise of interactive whiteboards, but the truth is, it's easy to get sucked into this mythology of futurism. I once tried to create a paperless classroom, and it was awful. Ultimately, about a semester into it, maybe a quarter into it, I began to switch toward more of a mashup model because I realized that I lost something when I went paperless. There's something powerful about hands-on physical reality. It's been a big idea we've talked about in this particular podcast series. So let's talk about some of the big myths that we see. Myth number one, innovation is all about technology. Schools have spent millions of dollars on cutting-edge applications, new initiatives, and state-of-the-art technology. And technology futurists have promised that the next big thing will revolutionize learning forever. In some cases, we've heard that the technology will actually replace teachers. Experts said that about videotapes and laser discs decades ago. And later we heard the same thing about the internet with and then adaptive learning programs and now with AI. But the focus on technology fails to address the very human and social reality. This is the reality. Innovation is about deeper learning. Much of the technology you have in your classroom is going to be obsolete in a decade. But you know what's not going to be obsolete? Smelly markers, sticky notes, duct tape, cardboard. Now, while these tools, the high-tech tools, have great potential, they mean nothing if they don't lead to deeper learning. For example, I've seen HyperDocs that are essentially digital worksheets. And when I got an interactive whiteboard myself, I honestly used it almost entirely as a projector. And when I had netbooks, I had certain assignments that were essentially high-priced notebooks. I mean, they could have done this on paper. And meanwhile, I visited classrooms where students printed really cool things on 3D printers, but I later found out that they barely modified a pre-existing template. The bottom line is that is not deeper learning. That's just printing. In many cases, older tools actually lead to deeper innovations in learning. It's an idea that I brought up in a recent podcast. And meanwhile, the learning is what matters. The soft skills that students develop, that's what matters. The tech skills that they will learn, right? Those are going to fade. I have a bunch of technology skills that nobody cares about. Nobody cares that I know how to unjam a projector. Nobody knows that I cares that I know how to navigate microfilm and microfiche. Nobody cares that I can navigate through the kitchen on the 90-foot-long cord that my mom had when I was a kid, and she would walk around. It would be like a bungee cord, but like the Matrix, and to maneuver around just to get a glass of water. Like, none of those skills matter. Nobody cares that I know how to deal with dial-up internet. It doesn't matter anymore. But what matters are those soft skills that I did as a kid. And some of those involved high-tech, you know, uses, and some of those were very low tech, but ultimately the technology skills, they don't matter over time. The soft skills that students develop, those are the things that are going to last. And as the teacher, you are the heart of innovation. You're the architect designing epic projects. You are the experimenter trying new things. Nobody writes a thank you letter to a worksheet provider, but they will go to great lengths to find the teacher who changed their world forever. So I want to talk about myth number two. Myth number two is the idea that we should go back to the basics. So if technology didn't fix everything, does that mean that we have to throw out new technology? Do we avoid new research? Do we bring learning back to the good old days? Well, I think that is a dangerous reactionary way to think about technology. The truth is that the good old days didn't work for many students, especially those with challenges or those who were learning English. There were and continue to be racist and unjust systems that we need to change. Going back to the good old days is a trap. It's nostalgia, and it doesn't help us at all. But more than that, there are some great new tools and ideas and approaches that we shouldn't avoid simply because they are new. We should by all means geek out on the tools and the creative and connective capacity that they offer. So here's the reality. We need new ideas and approaches and tools. As educators, we need to be open to change. We need to pay attention to the newest research. We need to experiment and try new strategies on our own. In terms of technology, we need to recognize that technology can offer amazing possibilities. We can research and connect with experts and create amazing digital content, and we can share this with an audience. We shouldn't avoid newer innovative approaches simply because they're new. We shouldn't retreat into fear-based traditionalism. Instead, we should embrace both the old and the new. We should explore what it means to mash the two up together. Myth number three, we should focus on the future. We live in an era of rapid change. Information is now available at a rate that is unprecedented. And social media makes it easier than ever to connect with others. We're just beginning to experiment with augmented reality and virtual reality, and we have no idea what machine learning and artificial intelligence will hold for the future. Now, given these realities, many schools and districts have focused on the future. More coding classes, more STEM, more STEAM, more meat if you want to rearrange the letters. But there's a danger in this futurism because it's so uncertain, we can easily slip into this place where we're teaching the wrong skills and strategies only to find that those have become obsolete in a decade or two. The reality is this: we should focus on timeless skills. Instead of focusing on the future, we should focus on the skills that last a lifetime. It's interesting that some of the top skills that Google looks for, based on their Project Oxygen report, were not coding or engineering even. They were timeless soft skills like being a problem solver, being teachable, communicating effectively, having empathy, making connections between unrelated ideas, being a divergent thinker. So the reality is we need to be focusing on those timeless skills. All right, myth number four, the final myth, is that veteran teachers are less innovative. Now, this myth drives me crazy. There's a common myth that veteran teachers are somehow less innovative than new teachers. I see this mindset whenever I hear people say something like, "We have a very veteran staff, and they are so stuck in their way." I don't buy it. Another version of it is, we need some new blood in here and some fresh ideas. Now, not only does this mindset smack of ageism, it simply isn't true. The reality is that veteran teachers are often more innovative. Some of the most innovative teachers I know have been at it for years. And meanwhile, as a professor, I often see risk aversion with some of the newer teachers that I work with as a professor. Some of they are more likely to fall back on teaching in a way that they were already taught. And often there's a perfectionism that seeps into it, right? They become perfectionists in their craft. And what happens as new teachers is they don't take those creative risks. They don't experiment because they're afraid of doing it wrong. Now, this isn't true of all new teachers, by the way, but my point is simply this. And this is the reality. Experience is vital for innovation. I know of this teacher named Phyllis, and she is awesome. She spent 30 years as an art teacher. I don't think she would have ever called herself innovative. For her, it's just what she did. But she was incredibly innovative. Every year, she would take her best projects, and she would build on them, and she would iterate, and she would improve. And then sometimes, every year, in fact, every semester, I would say, she would pilot other projects. And she would take these projects that she'd never done before, and she would test them out. She would experiment. She was the consummate curator. She was always curating ideas from other disciplines and other places, and she would mash them up in creative ways, like her epic steampunk bug project that she did. Now, eventually, Phyllis retired for a summer, and then she switched from art to STEM, and she continued to innovate, this time in a totally different discipline, totally different subject than what she taught before. But for Phyllis, innovation was this overlap between best practices and next practices. She understood that that's where innovation lies. Experience didn't make her reluctant to innovate. Instead, it made her more innovative. It gave her confidence to take creative risks. After honing her craft for years, she wasn't the least bit insecure about teaching. In addition, her experience gave her a deeper contextual knowledge of what middle school students actually need. And that empathy allowed her to continue to improve and design better projects. And that's innovation. I'd also point out that she was able to distinguish between innovation and novelty. She knew that relevance wasn't about the fancy new gadgets or trendy new ideas. It was all about doing what's best for kids. And I think this comes down to this idea of redefining relevance. See, relevance isn't about what's flashy and new. It's about what's better and different. And if we want students to become innovators, we have to have them understand that innovation is really about choosing what's better and choosing what's different. It's about solving the latest problems by leveraging whatever technology works best, whether that's old or new. It's about looking back in order to look forward. Authentic, long-lasting innovations can't be found in a new app or a set of slick gadgets or a new system. All of these are necessary, but they will ultimately fade and grow obsolete. The tools and systems will always remain secondary to the greatest influence on innovation, and that's the teacher. Think about your most epic project that you did as a student. No doubt, most of the technology is now obsolete. You might even have forgotten the tools you use or the program you learned, but you'll never forget that teacher. So where does vintage innovation come in? What I would say is this. Vintage innovation is a strategy. It's a mindset. It's a philosophy. But vintage innovation isn't going to tell you how to be innovative. It's got to come from you. Often, vintage innovation involves a mashup of old school ideas or tools with new school ideas and strategies. So, for example, the vintage idea of sketches, the modern idea of video, you have sketch videos. Vintage idea of journals, a modern idea of blog, you have visual blogging. Socratic seminars, it's the vintage idea, the modern idea is a podcast. You have Socratic debate podcasts, cardboard prototyping, 3D printing, and blended divergent thinking challenges. You take guest speakers, a very vintage idea, video recording, very new, and you have video history projects, lo-fi materials with circuitry, and you have tinkering projects. And by the way, that's what happens at NASA. You have engineers who are taking the ancient craft of origami and they're combining it with high-tech tools in amazing new ways. But again, this is where it comes from teachers. Like I said before, apps will change, gadgets will break, tech will grow obsolete, but teachers will continue to take creative risks and experiment with new ideas. They will continue to build relationships and inspire new possibilities in their students. When our tools have grown obsolete, teachers will continue to impact lives and change the world. And one small way that they can do it is with a vintage innovation mindset. Thank you so much for listening. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher? That would mean the world to me. Again, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.